I'd like to formally welcome you, the members of the gallery and press, to this ordinary council meeting. My name is Councillor David Bell and I am the Mayor of the Surf Coast Shire Council. I'd firstly like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land where we meet today and pay respects to their elders past and present and acknowledge the citizens of Surf Coast Shire. I'll now ask Councillor Wellington, would you please read the pledge?
As councillors, we carry out our responsibilities with diligence and integrity and make fair decisions of lasting value for the well-being of our community and environment.
Are there any apologies for this meeting?
Councillor McKittrick.
Councillor McKittrick. Can I have a mover that we accept that apology? Thank you, Councillor Goldsworthy. Thank you, Councillor Coker. I'll speak closer. All those in favour of accepting that apology? Thank you, the motion is carried. Confirmation. Councillors, we have a resolution before us to note the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 24th of October 2017 and the special meeting of council held on 8th of November 2017 as correct records of the meetings. Can I have a mover? Thank you, Councillor Duke. And a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Smith. Those in favour? Thank you. Are there any leave of absence requests from councillors? No. Are there any declarations of conflicts of interest with any of the... Councillor Wellington?
No, it's okay.
Are there any conflicts of interest to be declared on any items tonight? No, presentations. Are there any presentations for councillors wish to make? Thank you, Councillor Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to just acknowledge an event that occurred in Anglesey on November 16th, which was the unveiling and recognition of one of the local policemen who had drowned while on duty in Anglesey about 140 years ago. And this was in recognition because there was no plaque or anything for him, but it is one of the things that the police like to recognise, police that have died in the line of duty. And so I think this was particularly relevant for our small community, and if you're going through Anglesey, you will see a plaque and dedication that's outside the police station. So just to let you know a little bit that... it was in rough waters off Anglesey in 1881 that Constable David Digby fell to his death from a small rowboat while guarding the shipwreck Hereford vessel. And so there used to be a lot of shipwrecks along the along our coastline, and the police were sent out from Geelong to stop the looting. And Constable Digby was one of those. He had to actually take the captain back out over onto the ship. It was rough weather, and as they came back, they were swamped by a wave, and he passed away. So it was quite a memorable little ceremony with the descendants there on the day. And I'd also like to state that one of our local... Acting Chief Commissioner Andrew Crisp was there, but also Superintendent Craig Gillard said he was committed to keeping the region's rural and regional stations across our area open. So I thought that was a good message to be hearing. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Smith. I think now public question time runs for 30 minutes prior to consideration of the formal agenda by Council. We consider questions received with notice first, followed by questions without notice from the gallery. If anyone from the gallery would like to ask a question, please fill in the public question time form and pass this to our CEO, Keith Bailey. This is not an opportunity for debate. Only two questions are to be asked per person. You may put a bit of a preamble to that question, but we're not here to actually indulge in backwards and forwards discussion on that. And we have two questions in total on notice from Ross Johnson of Motawari, if you would care to come forward, Ross. And if I could ask anyone, please speak as close to the microphone. It's giving our recording devices trouble.
How's that? Good. How's that sound there?
Good when you get quite close.
Okay. So I'll start with question number one. And my question relates to the upgrade of Cape Otway Road between Gerang Road and Considine's Road in Motawari. This work package commenced in April, and notwithstanding some lost time through winter months, work to the road has been exceptionally slow. The work schedule has been extended many times, and with 4 weeks left till Christmas, no hope of the road being completed by the end of the year. The existing road shoulder is prone to deep potholes. These are left unattended for days and weeks at a time. Requires the residents to report to council. Why isn't the contractor patrolling the road daily and repairing potholes? The sections that have been widened and surfaced are rough and of a very poor quality. Is the standard of workmanship assessed by the council or an independent third party? Was the contract awarded to a company experienced in road construction? When will the full section of this contract be completed? Council engineers should now acknowledge the physical length of the project was too long and would have been better to complete this in three separate packages, given that the road from Considine's Road to Layard Road has had very little work other than widening and drainage in 6 months. The level of communication with local residents has been very poor. For a project months behind schedule, residents should have been better informed throughout.
I think Ms. Howard.
I might actually do it this way. Okay. So thank you very much, Ross, for your question. I wanted to provide a reasonably complete, as complete an answer as I could, so I'm actually going to refer to some notes. So
that's fine.
I'll just refer to a number of the issues you raised. So you talked about the length of the project and that we should have at council recognised that this is a significant length of roadworks and planned that in smaller stages. So you're right, it's overall a very large project. However, it has been broken down into three discrete packages, and it was actually separated into those contracts quite deliberately to help us manage risk and hopefully to get a better outcome overall. The reason the three packages have then had to proceed at the same time, not let's finish one, let's finish another, is because council was really fortunate to get a large amount of external funding for this work, and their external funding deadlines have meant that we actually had to get them all wrapped up by a certain time. So there are three packages. They were tendered that way. The works were awarded as three separate contracts, one stage to one contractor and two stages to another, but we did try and manage it in that way as best we could. The two companies that were awarded the work, both fairly large road construction companies, both extremely experienced. However, this hasn't been a great project for the contractors and therefore for council and community. I accept that in that whilst there was a lot of geotechnical and investigative work done, the existing conditions of the road and the shoulders have proven to be not what was expected. And that has had a big impact on how well this project has proceeded. And where we thought we would have some really tough areas, when we opened it up, some wasn't too bad. Where we thought we'd have a clear run, the contractors hit some really bad subgrade, and it's really been a challenge. And then that was compounded by the wet weather, but this is far from just a wet weather problem. Mm-hmm. So that's just touching on the staging that we did try and put in place. In terms of maintenance, the two contractors are fully responsible for maintenance of the road right up until the point that we close out the contract with a practical completion, and we're not there yet. We don't expect during that period of maintenance that there be daily inspections, but we do expect responsiveness when there are problems raised. They have been raised by officers because we also have inspections that happen that have been raised by community and councillors. And we do expect the contractor to respond. I'm not aware of situations where it has been weeks where they've responded, but I hear that sometimes it's been far too long. I think that has improved more recently. Part of what's contributing to the need to do maintenance is that until we get the full work finished and sealed, it's exposed to weather, and that's catching us out, particularly on the shoulders. The completion overall, we expect that all three stages will be complete within the next 2 weeks, other than there will be a final seal that happens 6 to 12 months after, and there are some drainage works that we just need things to dry a little bit more, so there'll be some drainage works to follow in the new year as well. The problem that we face is that to finish the overall works, we really need to get the seals done. The longer that takes, you have to come back and do a bit more prep before you get there. The sealing contractor came out and wasn't happy because they'd already been impacted by wet weather, etc. So he said he wasn't prepared to seal them. We've had to do rescheduling of that sealing contract to this Friday, and now we are actually, understand there's a forecast of 30 mil of rain. So every time we've tried to get the sealing done, we've been caught. If we can get it sealed soon, I'd hope that all three contracts are finished in the next 2 to 3 weeks at the most, and well before Christmas, and then it'll just be line marking and some tidy up in the new year. In terms of communication, I acknowledge that the longer these projects go on, the more important that communication is, and at times we've fallen in the trap of if there isn't a lot to add, we haven't been active enough. Mm-hmm. There will be that, so there has been communication through the Winter Star, there have been communication directly with the landowners in the immediate area, and in response to people like yourself who might raise specific questions, we would respond based on those what we call customer requests that are raised. There is a planned update in the Winter Star again next week, but we certainly take on board what you're telling us about the need for more regular communication, and that's something that we certainly need to watch on these protracted projects. Not relating to your question, but I just wanted to take the opportunity to, I guess, share with the community too, notwithstanding the challenges we've had external oversight from a quality management point of view on all of this project. We've also tapped into the expertise of the people who've actually designed the pavement and seal as we've developed contingency responses and stuff, and they're very confident that given the challenges of the road, which has poor drainage, etc., that the overall quality is being achieved and that we should have a good product. So that's the external support that we've been getting to try and make sure we don't get the wrong outcome. Okay? And I just finally, Council's been very successful in getting another black spot grant, so early warning that we're actually going to have to do some more work, but it's good news on a further stage further to the west on Cape Otway Road, and we'll take on board your feedback around communication.
Thank you.
And I think you have a second question, although when I look at it, it's almost a third question. Thank you, Ross.
Can the Council provide some information how the recently resurfaced Forest Road Moriac has broken up badly with large gaps forming in the surface down to the geo fabric? At this stage, the only warning of this very poor surface is one single rough surface sign and no reduction in speed limit. In a recent Moriac community Facebook site by a local resident, it was asked by a councillor, have you reported this to Council? But the question I ask is, doesn't your staff and contractors also drive on the same roads? And should they not be recording the issues needing rectification? With a pending contract to be awarded to the widening of Range Road, I cannot strongly emphasise that Council only select contractors capable of widening or completing the tendered work within a scheduled time frame to the tendered value of the contract to an acceptable quality.
I think that's back to you, Ms. Howard.
Okay, so again, thank you. Good to be able to talk about roads and even when things don't go quite as planned. So again, we've got a situation where the outcome on this road project isn't what we had hoped. The contractor certainly is aware of the failures. Officers are aware. We do drive all of our roads on a programmed basis, and we have already internally reported these issues with the contractor as the failures were known. We also have had this brought to our attention by a number of councillors as well as communities. So yes, we see this. You may see often that there's white paint on roads. That's a sign that we've identified it and there's a need to have that. Otherwise, without that, I get that while we might see it, you don't know whether we've picked it up or not. Okay. So the contractor's definitely aware of the issue. This one's been a bit tricky. The cause appears to be that the asphalt overlay, which is sitting on a plastic geogrid over a pavement that the grid has adhered to the underlying pavement, which had reconditioning work done, but the asphalt actually hasn't somehow bound or binded as it should to the grid. And we don't know what's caused that. And it appears, therefore, that there's a shearing happening between the grid and the asphalt. the consultant who has done that design for us is going to come and actually do an inspection before any rectification works are done. The contractor is lined up to come back to address this within the next week to 2 weeks. I'm hoping it's actually next week, but it's dependent on when they can get another supply of the geogrid. They will profile out all of the failed areas and quite large areas. They will relay the grid, and then they will redo the asphalt over top. There are large areas that are standing up well, and we don't understand why we're getting these very, very notable and very bad patches of failure, and yet a lot of the road is actually seemingly okay. We don't know whether it's also starting as the weather gets warmer. So we have a few questions. The technique has been used elsewhere very successfully. The contractor is known to us and a successful contractor. So that's why we're a bit struggling to understand exactly what the cause is. But there is there are works in play or scheduled to fix it. In relation to the speed limit, we do intend to reduce the speed limit to 60 kilometres an hour. The contractor had gone to VicRoads to get approval for that because their speed reductions require that approval. That's actually a bit of a slower process than we want. We're going to exercise some authority that council has to try and do it more immediately. I hope that answers that one.
Thank you.
Can I just add that the speed limit signs are out now.
Great, there you go.
Thank you, Councillor Smith. That was the questions with notice. Do we have any questions without notice? Rance has that. And Mike, would you care to come forward and read your question?
Hello, Mike Robinson Cost from Pennyroyal. The Dean's Marsh Lawn Road has become more and more busy with tourist traffic, construction traffic, and now bike traffic, bicycle traffic. Basically, 95% of the road is double lines, along the way. So it's really illegal to pass the bikes. And for most of the way, just a couple of places up here, and then the rest of the way to Lorne, it's double lines. And I've witnessed a couple of very close calls, and I've seen a few on social media as well, on the local school bus, dash cam. And I'm really concerned about this as a local, that someone's going to get killed, a tourist, and seeing quite a few tourists who really don't know how to drive on the left-hand side of the road either. So I guess I know that it's probably a VicRoads road, so the Shire might not have any sway here, but I think it's worth noting to mention that it's being advertised as an alternative to the Great Ocean Road to Lorne, and I think it really needs some sort of short, medium, long-term plan. Short-term, maybe signage. I know it's got some signs, but I think long-term it needs a widening for bikes and cars to share the road. And I'd just like council to represent us, maybe to VicRoads or whoever the powers that be. Just a discussion.
Thank you, Mike. Do we have any officers who would care to comment on... Thank you, Mr.
Salmon. Yes, through the chair. Thank you. Thank you for the question. I was prepared to respond to a question specifically in relation to to the events that are run along there, because that was the question that was posed, which is quite different to a little bit different to the one that you've just asked. But I was going to inform you that that question has been raised with VicRoads on a number of occasions. And it's my understanding that the visibility of both riders and bikes, they have made some steps forward with that, and particularly in relation to the events. It is a VicRoads road, and I would be happy to take up your concerns with them through our events management team, just from that particular aspect. I don't know whether Anne would like to comment more broadly about the road.
Probably a discussion with VicRoads.
Yeah. Cheers.
Thank you, Mike. Are there any further questions without notice? Oh, we have another one.
Can we just see who best answers? Thank you. You're happy the second one's covered? Yeah? Did you want to ask the first part of the question, or are you happy that we take that on notice? We've just seen that the second question was actually just discussed.
Yeah.
In detail. Yeah. Yeah.
Quickly, put yourself on the record as having asked the question, so we've got it, and we have your details, so we'll keep in touch.
Jenny Bush. I live at Penny Royal Way. My question is, what is the Surf Coast Shire's intention and commitment in completing a shared loop path around the Deans Marsh Township as a review? It has been proposed previously, but I'm wanting to know what the intention and commitment there is from Surf Coast Shire.
And who are we throwing that one to?
Yeah.
Or do you want to take that on notice?
So thank you, Jenny, for the question. Unfortunately, and I know that we will all recall that you raised this at the time of our budget last year as a submission, and we would have responded at that time. It probably falls in a number of areas, and I think we'll have to take that one notice and follow up with you outside of the meeting, if that's all right.
That's fine.
Okay.
Thank you. Do we have any further questions without notice? No, thank you. And I think we'll move to item one on the agenda. And the purpose of this report is to receive and note two petitions from the 3228 Residents Association Incorporated requesting that Council consider a mandatory Torquay Town Centre building height. Thank you. Councillors, are there any questions of the officer?
I'm happy to move that, Mr. Mayor, that petition is accepted.
Thank you, Councillor Coker. Seconded, Councillor. Those in favour? Those against? That motion is carried. And we'll come back for a report at the next ordinary meeting of Council. And we move to... planning matters and decision. The next item, the purpose of this report is to consider an application for approval of a development plan for Briody Drive West in Torquay. Councillors, are there any questions of the officer? No? If there are no questions, do I have a mover for the motion? Thank you, Councillor Duke. Do I have a seconder?
Yes, I'm happy to
second,
Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hodge. Councillor Duke, would you care to speak to the motion?
I would. Only been in council for a short time, but listening to the frustrations of the people that have been involved in this over a very long time, it's good to see it coming to an end and being put through now, and we can take now into the planning department and people can start planning their futures around what they've planned. So, is that better? Thanks. So, yes, so I commend it.
Would you care to say a few words, Councillor Hodge?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, thank you. This has been a long time coming. The submissions were in 2011 and the panel report was in 2012. It's 32 hectares around this area with 17 landowners. So there certainly must have been a lot of discussion to get 17 people on board. It fits into our 2040 strategy of infill into the Torquay rather than extending our boundaries. There's no staging as proposed, so the development will occur when a lot of the landowners concur. We have changed a few items, such as a road. What is good is the green belt around Grossman's Road is still protected. It is a mixture. It has gone from, of course, low res density to res one with a mixture of densities which may suit that area in the future, because it's so close to so many infrastructure areas such as the kinders and the schools, which is two schools in fact. So I'm happy to move it and look in the future of seeing planning areas in this come to us again, so we can relook at actually how it all fits together. Thanks.
Are there any other councillors who wish to speak for or against the motion? Mover, Ms. Councillor Duke, do you wish to say anything further? I'll now push the motion. All those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. After all that time, it suddenly goes. Now, we move to governance and infrastructure project budget adjustments and cash reserve transfers for November. The purpose of this report is to approve the project budget adjustments and cash reserve transfers. Councillors, are there any questions of officers on these? Councillors, do I have a motion? Thank you, Councillor Smith. Thank you, Councillor Duke. Do you wish to speak to the motion?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, this is again sort of making sure that the funds are allocated in the right places. We did make some changes to the bus terminus that requires us now to do the Great Ocean Road bus terminus on the Great Ocean Road. So it's actually good to see that change has been made. And of course, we've got some other projects that are going along there. So again, transparency in where funds are being spent.
Do you wish to say anything? Does there any other councillors wish to speak for or against the motion? Wish to close, Councillor Smith? No. I will now put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Item 4.2, council representation on various committees and regional peak organisations. We have a amended recommendation there. Does someone... any councillors who... questions to ask of officers?
I have a question, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Wellington.
Thank you. I was just wondering if we could just be informed as to why an appointment is not required by council for the Bowen South West Waste and Resource Recovery Group and Community Chef. They're positions we've always appointed to in the past. I just wonder if we can have an explanation of that, please.
Who's taking that? Ms. Howard.
So through you, Mr. Mayor, in response to Councillor Wellington's question, yes, historically they have come through the chamber. However, when we reviewed the need for it to come in the chamber, there isn't one. Both of those committees are appointments that are processed outside of council nominating. There is a separate application process and a separate determination. The case of the waste group, the minister actually approves, I believe.
It's a government
and
council.
The community chef also is not a council appointment.
I just have a follow-up question, Mr. Mayor. So my understanding is that although with the waste management group, although it's been a ministerial appointment, it was still a council nomination. So, and it is a paid appointment, as I understand it. It's always gone through the chamber. I'm just not clear as to why. Is it still a representative of council or a nominee of council that's appointed to that board?
No, so you need to be a councillor to be eligible for this particular appointment. However, you don't need to be nominated by the council that you are a councillor on. It is a paid appointment and it has a separate process outside of the chamber. I don't believe it's ever needed to come through the chamber for resolution.
So, follow-on question, Mr. Mayor, does that mean that any councillor here could nominate for that position?
That would be my understanding.
Thank you.
Any further questions of officers on this matter, or do you wish to say something, Councillor?
I was just going to have an alternate motion.
Yes.
And the reason why it's an alternate motion is just to correct an item in the report, and it is item three there, that for the purpose of these minutes replace the report's description of the Geelong Regional Library Corporation that was included in the agenda with the description from the corresponding section of the meeting minutes on 22nd of November 2016.
Thank you, Councillor Smith. Do I have a mover for the motion? Councillor Smith, a seconder. Councillor Coker, do you wish to say anything, Councillor Smith?
No, other than we've actually got, if we can actually bring up the delegates that have been nominated there, I think these organisations, committees are particularly important for not only for council and councillors, but also for the community, and you know, require varying levels of commitment and work from various councils. But I can tell you that some of them are most rewarding, in particular the library, which is why I was the one that picked up the slight mistake in the minutes. So I thank. I commend the interest of councillors in participating in these, and I think it gets a good outcome for our community.
Councillor Coker, do you wish to say?
Yep, just briefly, I think a lot of these organisations actually go a long way to helping us advocate for our communities. The MAV is an organisation which we have twice yearly put forward our priorities to advocate for issues, whether it may be around renewables, it may be around getting rid of plastic bags, it may be around the funding that councils receive. So it plays a very important role. We also have roles on G21 Geelong Regional Alliance, which is exceptionally important for the five councils to work together, head up to Canberra, and again advocate for things that we need, like roads, rail, children's services hubs, etc. The other one, which I think is certainly worth noticing, is our Municipal Emergency Management Planning Committee, and that actually is important, particularly with our lead up to the summer season, that we ensure that we are prepared and that we're getting the right messages out to community. So, yes, I commend this motion and thank my fellow councillors for the work they do.
Are there any other councillors who wish to speak? Councillor Wellington.
Yeah, thanks very much, Mr. Mayor. I agree with what's been said. People work very hard on these committees, and it's important that councillors represent it. I'm not entirely comfortable with point two of the resolution, which is that councillors appointed as delegates must ensure that their input is consistent with council's view. And because I do think when you know, you're sitting on a committee, you've got to... It becomes very circular, particularly if these committees are sort of advising council, that we have to actually give a council view to input into the advice to us. So it feels rather odd, but I think in practice it tends to work reasonably well. I think for external committees such, and I don't know if I'm misreading this, but external committees like the Municipal Association of Victoria or the Victorian Local Governance Association, I think it perhaps is reasonable that we are conveying a council view. But for committees such as the Audit and Risk Committee, Why would we, you know, that's meant to be an independent committee advising council and giving independent advice to council, and I would have thought that we would not be requiring the delegates on that committee to tell us what we think. So it feels a bit circular to me. I don't know if other councillors have similar thoughts around that, but just a thought. Thank you.
Not sure what to make of it. Are there any other councillors who wish to make comment on that? Councillor Smith, do you wish to close?
Yes, I will close on that. I think the point that Councillor Wellington is making on this sort probably sort of relates to it consistent with council's views. Consistent probably is referring to consistent with council's decisions that have already been made. And a lot of the items that actually go in particular to the audit and risk are really items that are seeking input before a decision of council's that council's made on things. At least that's been my experience over the last 3 years.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor, can I just ask, is it too late to put...
Councillor Wellington, I'm just asking. What are you trying to ask?
Well, I was about to say that if you'd give me a moment. I was asking whether I could move an move an amendment to the motion to reflect what Councillor Smith has just said.
I think we're sort of getting a bit out of order on this.
Well, what do the local laws say?
We are most of the way through the debate and we're at the closing stage.
Well, Mr. Mayor, there is a local law that deals with this. I just wonder if the local law allows an amendment prior to the motion being put.
I'm asking, could our governance officer perhaps or CEO provide some input here? Well, we had these both at briefings, which would have been perhaps a better place to raise these such burning issues than right now at council.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor. Can I object to that? This is a public meeting. The decisions are meant to be made in public and any councillor is entitled to raise any point at this meeting and not be told off for not raising it in private meetings. That's the whole purpose of a public meeting.
It is the purpose of a public meeting. I find it a little bit ambushed to have brought such a matter as this up at a very late stage.
Can I defend myself, Mr. Mayor? I do think about what I'm doing up until the moment that I actually make the decision.
Good.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I've just consulted with our General Manager of Governance and Infrastructure, and we believe without checking the local law in detail, because we have to go and do that, but we believe a councillor can move an amendment up to the point on which the motion is actually voted on. So with that, we believe that Councillor Wellington would be able to.
With that clarification, Councillor Wellington, would you care to move an amendment?
Or Councillor Smith may choose to do it. Would you like to do it?
I'd like to do it, but I'd just like to hear what are you just wanting to actually insert consistent with Council's
Council's resolutions.
Council's resolutions on such matters.
Yep.
Okay. I'm happy with that.
And would the seconder be happy with that?
I think it's you, Councillor Coker. Thank you, Councillor Coker. Thank you, Councillor Wellington. Yes, so actually, I'll just leave it at that. And we've got a motion in front of us, and I hope we all support it.
I think we're now to the point.
I'd like to speak to the amended motion, if I may. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very much.
Excuse me.
She changed the word.
Margaret.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, sorry. Thank you. It's not actually an amendment motion to actually debate. It's actually been, the original motion has been adjusted with the consent of the mover and seconder. So it doesn't require further debate.
So I will put the motion, those in favour, those against, the motion is carried. Now, 4.3, Ordinary Council Meeting Dates and Times for 2018. The purpose of this report is to adopt the Ordinary Council Meeting Cycle for 2018. Councillors, are there any questions for officers?
No, Mr. Mayor, but I'm happy to move those dates.
Thank you, Councillor Hodge, as the seconder. Thank you, Councillor Goldsworthy. Do you wish to speak to the motion?
Oh, no, I think that we'll be having discussions probably later on to see where if we move around the council area. Like we're in Dean's Marsh tonight at a later date, but those dates are in our book for next year.
Seconder, do you wish to speak to the motioner?
Thank you.
Are there any other councillors who wish to speak to the motion? I'll now put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. So we know what we're doing on those dates next year. Audit and Risk Committee membership. The purpose of this report is to request approval for an extension to the appointments of John Gravens and Deborah Russell as independent members of the Audit and Risk Committee. Councillors, are there any questions of officers? No.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that motion, thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Goldsworthy. Would someone care to second that motion? Thank you, Councillor Smith. Do you wish to speak to the motion mover?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As a member of the Audit and Risk Committee, over the last 3 years, I've actually observed the valuable contribution that both John Gavins and Deb Russell contribute to the Audit and Risk Committee. They're very competent, and what this is really doing is aligning aligning their appointments to ensure that the terms are staggered with the other two independent directors. So I commend the motion. Thank you.
Seconder, do you wish to speak to the motion?
Oh, look, I will speak just to say thank you to these two members. I think they've been made valuable contributions over the time, and I'm sure Councillor McGregor, who's coming on to the Audit and Risk Committee in my place, will be able to work well with them.
Any other councillors care to speak to the motion? I will just make one note that in the summary report, there's a mistake in the date, the 28th of January 2108, I think should be 2018, or else we're about 90 years out of whack. So I'll now put that motion. All those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. One of those things that suddenly jumps out at the eye. Item 4.5, Draft Unsealed Road and Street Network Strategy. And the purpose of this report is to seek endorsement of the Draft Unsealed Road and Street Network Strategy, including a draft funding strategy, and to seek formal council agreement to proceed with the proposed public consultation process. Councillors, are there any questions of the officer? In case... Thank you, Councillor Coker. Thank you, Councillor Wellington. Councillor Coker, do you wish to speak?
Thank you. Look, this is a very important policy. Being in Aries Inlet and knowing how challenging it can be with special charge schemes and the need to have a very clear means of assessing when people come to us, say, with a petition, this will give us an opportunity to assess it on the basis of our complete road network. We do have 1,000 kilometres of road network. It is significant. And in making an assessment, we now have a criteria assessment tool, which will look at things like the benefits to abutting residents, road safety and pavement condition, existing traffic characteristics, and, of course, your traffic volumes and potential growth. So this is going to be a very useful document, and it may take the heat out of the decisions and give us more structure to it, which I think is going to be very valuable.
Thank you. Seconder, do you wish to say a few words?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I got very excited when I saw the title of this item because unsealed roads are a huge burden for us in the Shire. And I would say, as a rural councillor, these issues around maintenance of unsealed roads would probably occupy, you know, I don't know, a quarter of the contacts I get from residents. It's a really huge issue. And then I got even more excited when I saw the picture on the front cover of an absolutely pristine unsealed road, and I thought maybe that's what we're aiming for in our Shire. But then I realised it's actually a much narrower strategy than that. So it is called the Unsealed Road and Networks and Street Network Strategy, but in fact it is a tool for prioritising unsealed roads for upgrading to sealed roads. So it's a really nice piece of work, and it gives us a very logical way of looking at roads and grading them. Well, excuse the pun, that would be good too, but assessing them to see whether or not they are our priorities for sealing. So I think it's probably rather optimistically titled, but I do think it's a very nice piece of work, and I think it will help us because, you know, as often as Councillor Coker said, it can be quite controversial. Residents often have to contribute to the funding for the sealing of these roads, and often there's demands. Often council has to contribute a large amount of money as well. So we do need a tool to prioritise them. I would like to think that in the future our unsealed road strategy does extend to providing more funding for the grading, maintenance, re-sheeting and all of the work that does need to be done to our entire extensive network of unsealed roads, because it is a massive challenge, and in my view, we are not investing enough into that particular part of our core business at the moment. We're doing the best with the resources we've got, but we as a council need to make some hard decisions about putting more resources to that, because I think we're not meeting community expectations in that area. But for the purpose of this very expansively titled strategy, I think it's a very nice tool and it will help us. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Wellington. Are there any councillors who wish to speak for the motion? Any councillors speak against it? Mover, do you wish to speak to close the debate? No. I'll now put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Thank you. We move to 4.6. A lot of roads tonight. Design of Forest and Groves Road, Paraparap. Thank you. I stand corrected. The purpose of this report is to advise of the completion of the design and community consultation process for strengthening and widening of 3.5 kilometres of Forest and Groves Road between Gravel Pits Road and Flaxbourne's Road, Paraparap, and to seek formal endorsement of the road design plans as a policy decision under Section 39 of the Road Management Act. Councillors, are there any questions for the officer? Do I have a motion? Thank you, Councillor McGregor. Do I have a second? Thank you, Councillor Wellington.
I've been quite involved with this consultation with the local community, as has Councillor Wellington, over quite a period of time, looking at particularly Grays Road and the narrow length of road that it is, and it's a straight stretch, so there's a tendency for vehicles to move fairly quickly along there, although it's not that safe because we've got a lot of Indigenous vegetation on the roadside. So it's been pretty complex working through how do you upgrade this area, being mindful of the trucks and other vehicles that need to use that stretch of road, and being mindful of residents that do like to use the sides of the roads for horse riding and taking their children and for cyclists to go through that space as well. So where we've got to is a significantly modified version of what was probably put forward initially, and I really appreciate that the officers have looked at reducing the shoulders on this road, particularly on Grays Road, to ensure that the vegetation has minimal impact and the guard railing that's installed is done so that it's safe for the community and doesn't trap them onto the roadside when vehicles are coming. So there's the sorts of things that have been considered through this process. So I commend this recommendation to my fellow councillors, and it would be good to see this actioned. The only other thing that I'd like to add is that I believe there will be ongoing community discussion around speed limits along that length of road on Grays Road. Thank you.
Thank you. Seconder, would you care to speak?
I would indeed. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I concur with what Councillor McGregor said. I'd like to pay particular tribute to John McCartney, who did a fantastic job with the community here, because this was one where this upgrade was announced and we probably thought it was great news, and the community actually reacted quite negatively because they saw the potential loss of vegetation and the issues of actually by sealing the shoulders and making the road wider, they were concerned it would turn into even more of a speedway. And John McCartney actually worked with this community in a way that I think was an example, really, of the way that it ought to be done. He was extremely patient, and he listened to them, and he spent a lot of time around the design. And in the end, the community has ticked off the outcome of this, and it was well worth the time and effort, and really an exemplar, in my view, of the way that we should be dealing with the community. And I agree with Councillor McGregor, we need to be talking to Vic Roads about reducing the speed limit on this road. This whole area around in the hinterland is really problematic with massive truck movements. We've got mixing of trucks, speeding cars, horses and cyclists, and it's, you know, there's hazards around there that are really concerning to people, and I think we certainly need to do something about re-looking at the truck routes and determining whether there's anything we can do about spreading the load more evenly around this district. And we also need to talk to Vic Roads about speed limits. But having said that, I think we also did need to widen this road and make the shoulders safer. So it really needs to be a comprehensive strategy, and this is part of it. And I think we're committed to doing the other parts. But again, I think a really exceptional process that we should be proud of. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Wellington. Are there any councillors who wish to speak for or against the motion? Mover, do you wish to speak for the motion? I will now put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. We now move to item 4.7, place naming request, Camel Lily Pond Walk and Shankhill Road. The purpose of this report is to provide information regarding proposed names for one new road and an existing pathway. Councillors, are there any questions of the officer? Someone care to put the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that, thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Goldsworthy. Thank you, Councillor Coker. Would you care to speak to the motion?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not too sure on one of them, but I'd just like to speak on behalf of the Camel Lily Pond Walk, and this is in memory of Michael Callanan, lovingly known as Camel. And I'd just like to share a little bit of part of what was read out at his recent funeral. Camel constantly gave to the community right up to the end. 30 plus years of volunteer service as a member of the SES, 17 years as the branch leader. He was Citizen of the Year for the Surf Coast Shire in 2009. He was passionate in training young people in his, what was known as Camel's Oasis Nursery. He was instrumental in the formation of Lawn Land Care, cutting walking tracks and painting posts from Lawn to Apollo Bay with his cousin John. He never complained about his health issues, which almost took his life in 2011, and was always grateful for the remarkable second chance he was given. The last five years gave Camel the gift of time to have all those conversations he wanted to have with everyone around town, and also for us to let him know how much he was loved and respected. His resilient humour and relentless positive outlook remain no matter what challenges were thrown in his path, and there were many that would have beaten most of us. His legacy will live on. Camel's lifelong passion, commitment to the entire environment, those special places in around Lawn that are under threat, and it leaves a massive challenge for us all to meet. So I commend this motion, and hopefully another councillor can talk on Shankhill Road. Thank you.
Seconder, do you wish to speak to the motion?
Yes, look, I just wanted to say that in relation to Camel, that he was a true gentleman, and I think to name a special part of Lawn that has special environmental values is fantastic, because that was his passion and he was a true gentleman. So I do acknowledge him.
Are there any other councillors who wish to speak to the motion? Councillor Wellington.
Yes, thanks very much. I can't talk. I've never heard of Shankhill, actually. And I don't know where the local community has, but it'll be interesting to see what they... this is in my backyard, but I've never heard of it. Anyway, that's the purpose of this, is to put it out to the community and see what they think. There is a Ngawari Community Association, so that would be a good place, obviously, to start with some targeted consultation around that. We'll see. But I think the name Camel Lily Pond is a beautiful name. It's actually a bit more attractive than Shankhill, but I probably shouldn't say that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. When any other councillors wish to speak, do you wish to speak? Close the debate, mover. I'll now put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Environment and development. We now go to item 5.1, Winchelsea Town Centre Revitalisation Project Status. The purpose of this report is to provide an update of the Winchelsea Town Centre Revitalisation Project, comprising the Town Centre streetscape works and entrance sculptures. In particular, it advises of an increased scope for both components of the project and seeks additional funding for that purpose. Are there any questions for the officer? There are questions. Do I have a motion? Thank you, Councillor McGregor. Thank you, Councillor Wellington. Councillor McGregor, would you care to speak to the motion?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Winchelsea has been very much looking forward to their town beautification project and the entrance sculptures appearing on the landscape. It's been a little unfortunate that there's been an underestimate of some of the costs. So these two projects are they're sort of two projects funded under the one banner. And in effect, what has happened is there's been an underestimate of the cost for electricity supply to the sculptures at the entrance. So that's to an additional need of $28,300. And in the beautification around the actual shopping strip, a need for some curbing and drainage works to finish the beautification, which is an additional cost of $54,000. So in effect, we're looking at an increase to the project funds of $82,300. And as I've mentioned to councillors in a couple of previous meetings, I implore you to support this so that the project can be completed rather than us trim the edges and leave it incomplete. This underestimate has been no fault of the community. It's been a budget issue that seems to have been realised before the project has commenced, but still would like to see it as a fully followed through project. Thank you.
Seconder, would you care to speak to the motion?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, look, I think it's really important that we do this really to maintain community confidence in you know, council. There's been a lot of work done with the community to develop up the plans and the ideas around this, and people are really excited about it. And I know would be deeply disappointed if we trimmed the project through a lack of funding. And really, for often you hear people say about local government, why didn't they do it all at the time, you know, rather than coming back? And it obviously is sensible with an amount, you know, this amount of money. We haven't got a cash flow problem. It is much more sensible to do this now than to try to come back later and dig up the whatever needs to be dug up, and you know the costs would be considerably more at that point. So when I first came onto council 5 years ago, Winchelsea was really groaning under the burden of the highway duplication, and things were really tough and community sentiment was pretty low really, and you know that went on for a couple of years with the And it was a very difficult time when that highway duplication was going through the town. But there's a tremendous sense of optimism in the town now. There's a lot of community work being done. I saw a photo yesterday of the community of putting lights up all around the town. It's going to be quite beautiful at Christmas time. We've got the VIC already lit up. So if anyone's going back via that way, you'll see it tonight in the dark, if it's dark when we finish. And, you know, there's a lot of community pride that's coming out. And the sculptures are going to make the entrances at both ends of Winchelsea on the Prince's Highway absolutely spectacular. And to not have them lit would have been a huge disappointment. So I think the community will be really appreciative of this, and I think we will well and truly get our money's worth from putting this extra $80,000 or so into this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Wellington. Are there any other councillors who wish to speak to the motion? Councillor Coker.
I think it was about 6 years ago, and you may correct me on this, Councillor Hodge, but we sat in this space and we had a very robust discussion about whether we should build the second story on the pavilion. And I remember sitting in this room with Councillor Hodge and myself and Councillor Mears, and we had this very robust discussion. And what we passed was to build that second story, because to retrofit later would have been very costly. And we look back now, and what a great thing it was to do. And in the same way with this, if we can do it now, we should do it now, because to do it later costs more, and it is much more difficult to put something in place afterwards than to do it in line with the project. So I think, considering our past, we should move forward and we should fund.
Thank you, Councillor Coker. Are there any other councillors who wish to speak to the motion? Mover, would you care to close the debate? Before I put the motion, I would say that this is an example of the work we've been doing with officers to actually, when they find problems with projects, to bring them forward. I did hear our CEO say to me earlier, unlike wine and cheese, problems do not get better with age. And this is a situation where we could go into projects massively over budgeting to cover any possible contingency, that can lead to slack progress, and she'll be right, we've got the money. Here we've said we want to know about problems early and we can fix them. The longer you leave it, the harder it gets, and I really wish to thank our officers for the work in bringing this forward. We can make this happen, we can complete the project, and I think that is a very good thing. I'll now put the motion. All those in favour? Although any against? No, the motion is carried. May Winchelsea light up. Culture and Community Small Grants Program. Mayor, I'm reading off too much. The purpose of this report is to allocate funding for the September 2017-18 round of one small grants program. Are there any questions of the officer? Do I have a mover? Councillor Hodge, Councillor Coker.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to congratulate the officers because no doubt it's a very hard job to prioritise and do all this because the diversity right across the Shire from different grants, we've got art and culture, community initiatives, environment, recreation and leisure, and it is spread right across the Shire. Looking forward to, and it's really good to see the people that weren't able to get a grant this time has either had money before or their program has gone into a different category. So it's really terrific to see this. Look forward to the day. It's a good day when everyone comes and gets a check rather than paying in. So congratulations to the officers and to all those diversity groups that write in and are successful in their grants. Thanks.
Seconder, would you care to speak?
Just quickly, I think that often these grants are a catalyst to community coming together and actually achieving, and they often go on to be long-term projects that bring communities together and add value. So, and they're a really fantastic event, one of the most favourite ones I like to go to because everybody likes to give out money and people do like to receive it. So it's a happy day for all.
Thank you, Councillor. Are there any other councillors wish to speak? Thank you, Councillor Wellington.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I wanted to just mention the community market project, which wasn't recommended for funding, and I can understand why, but there's a real practical issue there for that group there, and just shows the activity that is happening in that town now. But there's an increasing volume of materials that group's collecting around running the market, running the art show, running the festival, decorating the town. And so they've got a real storage problem. So I don't know how we address that, but we need to... I agree it's not a small grant issue in the way it's been framed, but we certainly need to be working with them to do something about supporting them to do all those things because the volunteer effort is enormous and needs to be supported.
Thank you, Councillor Wenning. Are there any other councillors wish to speak? Councillor Goldsworthy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I know we haven't formally voted on this, but I'd just like to congratulate Dean's Marsh Cricket Club and the Dean's Marsh community for what they've put in, and hopefully they will get their money tonight. But it's a really exciting project that Dean's Marsh is looking at doing, and this is the first instance of replicating those wonderful curtains that demonstrate the history of Dean's Marsh, and to then put that out on a large digital photograph outside on the front wall here, which will be fantastic. And it's the beginning of a longer term commitment by the town to actually start to look at ways of putting more artwork through the town so that you encourage people to walk through, not just come to Dean's Marsh for the sheepdog trials, but to actually come here and enjoy the other things. And in the longer term, potentially stop for a gin as well. So, thank you.
Are there any other councillors who wish to speak to the motion? Mover, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
I'll now move the motion. All those in favour? All those against? The motion is carried. Art space user fees. The purpose of this report is to consider user fees for the art space in Anglesey. Councillors, are there any questions of the officer? Do I have a motion?
Yes, I'd like to move, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Smith. Thank you, Councillor Coker. Would you care to say a couple of words?
Yes, I would like to say a couple of words on this. This is a great little venue that we actually have that's really bringing a lot of people into Anglesey, that the arts community right across the Shire. I think we've got the Rivoli artists that are from Winchelsea that are there starting on the 1st of December. We've had lots of other groups that have actually come through. And this is recognition that what we've started off with was supporting the artistic community themselves. And what they've now come up with is a really what I think is a good user pay system, so that the council is getting back some funding for what we pay for in rent in that location. And I do actually applaud the conditions there, that we will do waivers so that when we've got groups that are under 18 years of old age, or really difficult, really don't have the capacity to actually pay very, very small groups like that, we've actually got a plan there about when we can waiver the fees. So I think this is a great outcome. It'll allow, I hope this will allow the art space there to continue. It's well used, it's really enjoyed by the community, the arts community, and I think the tourists that come along the road, the visitors that will come into town as well. Of course, it's great to have it in Anglesey, such a great place to live.
Thank you, Councillor Smith. Councillor Coker.
Good plug. I'd just like to say that the art space has had 7,000 visits and over $35,000 in sales. And with that, I think what we move from is a space that is for volunteers and art enthusiasts to one that encourages our artists to take this on with professionalism, to develop their skills and to begin to run a business. And it is an opportunity to begin. And I think that we get some return to council, but we're also encourage artists to be professional in their endeavours. So may the art space in Anglesey long continue.
Are there any other councillors who wish to speak to, for, or against the motion? Do you wish to close, Councillor Smith? No. I'll now put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. We now move to item 6.3, Karumbi Murang Community Centre Hire Fee Schedule. The purpose of this report is to adopt a room hire fee schedule for Karumbi Murang Community Centre for 2017-2018. Councillors, are there any questions of the officer? Do I have someone to put the motion? Thank you, Councillor Duke. Thank you, Councillor Hodge. Councillor Duke, would you care to speak?
The council, the officers have been getting a good wrap-up tonight, and this is another one too. They've gone out and done a lot of work comparing size for size, hall for hall over the whole area, and looked at other areas. And they understand this space is going to be a little bit different, and they have offered the community a discounted rate to start with for the first 6 months, which is fantastic. And I think we're just going to see another space, when it opens up on the 29th of January, fill up with lots of users, consulting rooms. We're also going to have a space for youth there, which is one of the first places for youth in the Surf Coast. I'm really looking forward to that happening along the back with their little space at the back there in the laneway, and I think that we can see some really good things happening there and some good art stuff, hopefully, on the back walls there. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Duke. Councillor Hodge.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, this is a kinder that's going to, during the day, have places for 88 children and other allied services, which is fantastic. With the help of the Department of Education and Training grant of 1.6, but we've actually, council contribution was over $5 million. So we've got to do things differently, and it's not about more, it's about how we can use things differently, especially buildings. You'll notice that other kinders probably don't use their rooms in holidays and after hours. This one will. And as Councillor Duke said, there'll be youth there, and I'm sure the University of the Third Age will no doubt take a stake in it as well. I think the fees are very reasonable, 3 years at a discount, so they can actually come in, see if it's what they want. It mightn't be up to their availability or when they actually want it, but I think it's been a lot of great work done here, and I'm really looking forward to this centre being opened, and it's on track for January 2018. So not only is it going to be exciting just for the kinder kids and the families, but also for the other groups and the youths that can use it. So it's about how we do it better with our buildings, and this is certainly one of them, and I'd like to congratulate the architects, the staff that have been the feed-in, and of course councillors and all the community that have helped along the way. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hodge. Any other councillors care to say any words for or against the motion? Thank you, Councillor Coker.
I remember when this area was a paddock, and this is going to be one of the jewels in the crown for the civic precinct. It was a gutsy move many years ago when we actually built the civic precinct, and from there we've now got the school next door. We've got a fantastic recreational playground and skate park across the way, and now we have a children's hub, family, you know, consulting rooms as well. So it really has brought the whole civic precinct together, and people can move through that precinct and use it for a range of means by foot and with safety. So I think this is an absolute fantastic achievement for a number of councils, and to see it being open next year is going to be very exciting for a growing community.
Thank you, Councillor Coker. Are there any other councillors who wish to speak for or against the motion? In that case, I will now put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. No urgent business. Good procedural business. The purpose of this report is to receive and note the minutes of the Section 86 committee meetings as appended. Councillors, are there any questions for the officer? Councillor Goldsworthy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just questioning, hearing of submission committee meetings, are they Section 86 committees? I don't see that they are. They're councillors. So I think we've got them in the wrong.
There is Section 86.
Yeah, special committees.
There is Section 86.
Section 86. It's councillors.
So through you, Mr. Mayor, whilst the composition of this particular committee is made up of all councillors, council could have chosen to change that composition. They are actually an advisory committee, a special committee under Section 86 of the Act.
Special committee. Well, we learn something every day.
Oh, well, I'll move the motion then.
Thank you, Councillor Goldsworthy. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Coker. Do you wish to speak to the motion? Councillor Goldsworthy.
I think I've spoken.
Councillor Coker, do you wish to say? In that case, I will now put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Now we move to assemblies of councillors. The purpose of this report is to receive and note the assembly of councillors' records received since the previous council meeting. Are there any questions of the officer? Do I have a mover? Thank you, Councillor Smith. Thank you, Councillor Duke. Do you wish to speak? No. I'll now put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. No notices of motions. Closed section. There are confidential items for consideration tonight. I will now ask the members of the gallery to leave the meeting so the meeting can move into closed session. Can I have a councillor move and second the resolution to move to closed session? Thank you, Councillor Smith. Thank you, Councillor McGregor. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried.